reason I'm running away from Lausanne because they don't allow me to do simulation anymore. So, so I have to do something else. That's what I'm going to talk about. You know, but I have to review some of our older work. You know, in fact, we done at the Los Alamos when I was at IBM. The title I'm going to talk about is Scalings and Vortex Models in Fluid Turbines. This work has been carried out with people at Los Alamos, IBM, and Srinivasan, Mark Nelkin, and other people. I would like to do one advertisement for my collaborator, Guo Yeho. He did the most work for Vortex Model. He, in fact, looking for a job. He's an excellent person. If anyone has a job, you should consider him. Now, he's really good, you know. So, and when we talk about scaling, let me show you something, you know, these days, people like myself doing direct numerical simulation can do. I'm always proud of this plot, not that with insulting with any experimentalist, my colleague, dear colleague Srini. For the same Reynolds number, in fact, turn out, you know, if you talk about exact solution of scaling dynamics, this is only I know of for three-dimensional terminals, that's only exact results. That measurement from direct numerical simulation we published in 1996 with Srini compared with that experimental work in the wake at the Srinivasan and Yale. Okay, we found it turned out the 4/5 law in the direct numerical simulation is much better, wide, even for the similar Reynolds number. But unfortunately, we don't have free lunch. The numerical simulation cannot do everything. Question start from the beginning. That's my fault. Today I started. Okay, go ahead. The simulation was isentropic turbulence from 5-2 cubic simulation. Okay, but what I'm trying to say, in fact, we have a you know, kind of problem in direct numerical simulation. You cannot do very high Reynolds number simulation. People during yesterday's talk still debate if they are truly they are scaling dynamics. I think through this plot from Srini's work, a very high Reynolds number, he can measure from atmospheric boundary layer with R lambda equal to 10,000. Clearly, I have to wait, probably I think I can wait another 100 years or so to do that big simulation, to reach that, you know, for, I think. So, from that point of view, there are some, you know, cons or pros between direct numerical simulation and experimental work. But one thing I like to advertise for direct numerical simulation, which will connect to my talk, is the three-dimensional data. You can look at a really three-dimensional view of vortex structures and dissipations of three-dimensional turbulence. So what I'm trying to show you here is a three-dimensional, in fact, Srini used this in the review of modern physics for the centennial volume. This essentially, you look at yellow as a color coded for the vortex structures. And essentially, I'll show you here is the vorticity about 3 IMS. And also, we show you here is a strain, essentially related to the dissipation term with red color. From this plot, what can we learn? The question I'm asking here is that from this plot, we do see something that different, subtle difference of vorticity and the dissipation. And the question related to this, essentially, for the last couple of years, that's the debate about what can you learn about the transverse and longitudinal direction of structure functions. Okay. From that point of view, it in fact motivates us to develop the vortex model, which can in fact calculate some transverse and longitudinal direction and structure function. That's what I'm going to talk about. And in fact, turn out if you measure the same field for the flatness of these two quantities, look at the longitudinal direction and transverse direction for flatness defined and normalized by second order, you do see something different as a function of R, the separation that the Kolmogorov scale here is about 0.03, that length, you can normalize that. But you do see something that seems like in the inertial range about this range, you do see some scaling exponents difference for this particular Reynolds number, the R lambda about 200 a little over. Let's measure, really go to very accurate measure that. Let me show you some scaling exponents. I measure all orders as P as index of order index. Then the psi PT is referred to the transverse scaling exponent and the longitudinal scaling exponents. And also I plot here with the Kolmogorov scaling and K62 and also and so on. You do see clearly the difference for this field. So what I'm trying to say here, the subtlety of structure, vorticity and of the that and dissipation, the field, that's the first viewed by early days by CGR and you know also the curl and Zhen Shu and so on, did indeed induce some subtle question. Do we see universal scale exponents for three-dimensional turbines? There's of course a lot of debate. You know, I know the last couple of years I'm going to review this, but this to me is still not so unsolved the problem. I think a lot of people like myself still want to answer this question. Is there a unique universal scaling dynamics, or there are several different groups of scaling dynamics? Or how the, if there are some difference for finite Reynolds number, how these groups or two or three groups of scaling exponents they converge, okay, as a function of Reynolds numbers. In fact, this morning I think from the talk, Rahman gave a talk. He asked similar questions. How does this like a difference, you know, as function Reynolds number, how they converge to the saturate? This is the kind of question. And in fact, let me show you, in fact, measurement is not that bad at all. You know, this early days work, Zhen Shu and I did with height viscosity. If you look at that, I really, you know, more than one decade, it's you know, probably about half a decade, I would say, okay. You can see there's very strong evidence there's scaling exponents, power loss, log plot. You do see very good, even you change the viscosity, normal viscosity to height viscosity. This for the longitudinal direction. Similarly, you can measure for transverse directions. You do see some range of scaling power law range. Even more interesting, if you look at the dissipation and vorticity. So I'm looking at entropy defined here. This is second order. This is epsilon r. That's the dissipation term. This is the vorticity squared entropy. You plot them using so-called extended similarity. Then if they are scaling the same, they should see the power 1 here. In fact, you do see they have departure from the power 1, indicating that they have different scaling exponents. Similar behavior will work for even fourth order. This is power 1 order. This is its different power scaling. Then, in fact, motivated by Schoenig's early argument, he, in fact, then worked with Stolovitsky to connect these so-called refined similar hypotheses through so-called kinetic constraints. What he indicated, in fact, if you look at the longitudinal direction, the velocity difference increment, in fact, can smooth integration partial u partial x along this direction. So through that way, in fact, you connect that ru with your dissipation quantity, dominated by partial u partial x. If that is true, then in fact, you can similarly, you can argue that transverse direction velocity increment can connect to the entropy quantities. You can give another similar, refined similar hypothesis that we proposed in our early paper, look at it through this connection. In fact, there's some numerical evidence to support this kind of idea. Because there are two groups, the delta RU, longitudinal and transverse velocity difference, also there are entropy and dissipation, local average quantity. You can combine them with different groups. It turned out for the longitudinal direction, its original Kolmogorov results really is very good for this case. But for the transverse direction, we found, in fact, strongly connect to the vorticity based of kind of dissipation term. So we propose, in fact, that two different groups of similarity. Let me, people probably will argue if this is a finite difference effect. I have some argument. In fact, that this is the kind of differences has been observed even earlier by Eric Segia and Kerr and so on. In fact, if you look at the atmospheric boundary layer result by Srinivas in 1997, and even early data by Manivon Shuni for R-lambda 2000, you do see some differences. Also, let me show you one plot I'm going to show you about the fourth order struct function along transverse and logit direction as a function of delta u cubed, which assume proportion to separation all. You do see some subtlety, some skin exposure different, even though both of them show you strongly parallel fringe. And there are some physics you associate with this kind of phenomenon. Maybe I can argue about it, especially I will give you my personal opinion about physical explanation about the so-called called new refined similar hypothesis for transverse direction. I can argue probably say if you have vortex structures, we now believe that tube-like structure in isentropic turbulence, probably if the partial pass theta, the change of quantity as a function, it will be much, much smaller than partial partial r along the radial direction. This kind of subtlety of change as r maybe cause some skinning exponent difference. If this argument is going to work, in fact, you can also argue the sheet structure, type of kind of structure, will have similar behavior as I just say, that skinning exponent difference. On the other hand, I noticed that as people argue about that, I would like to give you a fair overview about this research, that based on the SO3, okay, a kind of harmonic decomposition, Lavoie and other people argue that, in fact, the differences of skin exponents for transverse longitudinal direction will disappear if you go to infinite Reynolds number. Also argued by Bagnell-King, based on the pressure equation in free space, he concludes essentially the similar kind of result. You also can, we in fact wrote also physical review letter paper argue about this, if the delta U transverse and longitudinal direction are different. If you can both skin about L with a tau n transverse and minus tau n with a longitudinal direction, they should approach to infinity if this quantity is bigger, if L approaches zero. If that's the case, that's if we think about, do some ideological kind of thinking, if we assume that vortex structures in your field, if this statistic satisfies this blow-up condition, at least you should find a one structure function which will give you blow-up property. That's in fact in our paper. But we try very hard to think about any single structure can give you that kind of property. We fail to find that kind of feature. Even with axisymmetrical vortex structures, even with the singular structure Zheng Xu and the people found with tube kind of structures. So, on the other hand, the question is still going on. Essentially say, what happens if, for instance, the Reynolds number, even though the two quantities are going to converge, how they converge as a function of R lambda? This question still exists. This kind of thing motivates us to look into the different kind of models. So my next half talk essentially to look into the vortex model, which will give some insight about the vortex structures and skin exponents. Using vortex model as a basis for fluid turbulence, it's very common. In fact, I think it started from Hill vortex early days in 1940s, and in fact, people rarely know that in China, my professor, my supervisor did this in the 1950s. They call the harmonic symmetrical vortex model. I introduced to Bob Krochner, he was surprised. He said, no one really in the United States knows this. He published more than 10 or 15 papers about this, even earlier than most we are doing here. You know, he published in the 50s. So I learned this thing, but my current work has nothing to do with that. I learned from a group from Caltech and other people, Langley and Tom Langley, other people. But the basic idea is that turbulence is composed with a random field of distributed vortices. And your statistics, essentially, like a calculator, structure functions, they are essentially ensemble of the vortices with a given PDF. So you have a kind of given PDF. The PDF is just given. It's not really derived from in some sense. So, but you would pick some basic solution, vortex solution, which will satisfy either the Nernst equation or Euler equation and so on. Okay. Okay, what the traditional people have done, there are a lot of different models, but let me show you just one transparency about how they calculate. Okay. So essentially, the model I'm going to use is essentially axisymmetric vortices. So that's learned from, so we call the filament and so on. So essentially a parameter, the radius RB is here. You have vortices along Z direction. You have gamma with the circulation. Okay. So you'll have the, but induced, the velocity induced by vorticity can through the Biot-Savart law calculator. Okay. Then you can look at, in fact, if you want to look at the delta U longitudinal direction velocity difference, calculate one point and calculate another point, and this is that construct delta U error, then project to the L direction. That's you do that. You can also calculate transverse direction by subtract that term. You, similarly, you can define epsilon in this volume through the local average. If I define omega error, defined by this cylindrical body, you can integrate epsilon through velocity-induced field at this position, then integrate it. Similarly, you can do the omega square integration for entropy. So what I'm trying to say, as soon as you specify that vorticity structures here, and through Biot-Savart law, you calculate velocity in this region, you can calculate anything you want. But the question is that, what the statistic you have to put into it, what kind of vortex solution was it will put into it. That is more or less is based on your choice, and also, in some sense, you have to satisfy the necessary equation. You could say it's not arbitrary, but there's some still a part you have depending on what you choose. Let me show you the results people have done so far. That's the result through the Karteka group. They use the Birk's vortex. Essentially, I will show you later what Birk's vortex is about. What they found essentially for skin exponents with a different order, essentially they don't see any inertia range in the early model. They essentially show that dissipation range, essentially. So they will see power R based on N. So 2, 3, and up to 7. They also use a spiral vortex developed by Tom Langley, but seem like inertia range, the early days work, I don't know the current work, but I tracked down 1996, I found that skin exponent for high order moments are not that good. Also, they only calculate for the transverse direction only. No longitudinal direction calculation at all, to my knowledge. And there's some fascinating results, essentially, down by the Kanbai. He introduced the distribution function for the arc gamma, essentially for the circulation distribution function. Then he essentially can fit a skin exponent, but I was surprised he can fit up to 30 or 40 order magnitude. I just worry about that, even order too high. That's okay. I like to read that, but that's I just over you. What we are doing is quite different now. So, okay, I don't feel threat at this point. Okay, and no, I think that's interesting. I want to see the paper. Yeah, in fact, that's it's possible. Yeah. Okay. And let me show, tell you what the Birk's vortex is about. The Birk's vortex about essentially is composed of two fields. One is so-called non-rotational strain background field, essentially by these two terms. Okay, the velocity field. Another one is essentially a field induced by a localized and vortex filament. The filament has its contribution to V theta. So you look, think about a cylindrical coordinate. The distribution of velocity is essentially something like this. It's, you have exponential decay of your V theta direction. This solution will satisfy exactly the Navier-Stokes equation. Using this only, even the Kanbei, he did this skin exponent for the transverse longitudinal direction. When you use this model, Birk's model, you cannot calculate. You do not see any scaling exponent, scaling region for transverse directions. Then we try to say, let's think about something else. Can you get transverse direction skin exponents? We turn out the ranking vortex people used for early days, give you a very nice ranking vortex, essentially, you have certified Euler solution. Okay? So you have this kind of a core of essential for R less than R, you have kind of increase your velocity, then go into one of all decay. We found if you use this kind of ranging vortex, you will get quite good in the transverse direction, but not in the longitudinal direction. So the natural way we think about that, why not we combine them together? So I don't. If people argue with me, say, why you do this? I will not again argue with you. Probably I just say, let's just take approach this way. Okay, let's take this just as a try. Okay, to see what you can get about it. So we do the combination of these two fields. And then we'll essentially calculate longitudinal and transverse directions. Then so many quantities you have to average. You have to average your space, you have to average vorticity direction, location and angles, you have to average of radius and vortex and Reynolds number. We found a Reynolds number that dependent, in fact, for this quantity, are dependent, I would say, from experimental work, from Tablin. He showed essentially experimental data. There are some experimental data as a radius dependent. We use their data, essentially. We don't use fitting. Just essentially took their experimental data. Let me show you the vortex structure, what it looks like. So this is essentially from our direct numeric simulation. Three-dimensional terminal DNS, the vortex structures. This is essentially the vortex structure we used. That's the entropy, right? Essentially, isosurface of vorticity. The similar thing we plot here, essentially all line up with axisymmetrical data we made a plot. That's essentially the one typical field we used for the vortex model to calculate a transverse longitudinal scale exponent. You can do any other directions. That doesn't really matter at this point. Doesn't matter. If you do statistical or not, doesn't matter. Okay. You can assume angle. Essentially, that symmetry will integrate out, essentially, if you look. No curvature. The vortex is not a zigzag in space. Just go axisymmetrical. Well, you can, I'm not going to show, I just show you that you can exactly write down all the mathematics. It's quite tedious, but I will say straightforward. Okay, write down all the mathematics. But I would like to remind you, even though this kind of model is simple, when you do integration, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 integrations of all these things, if you even with 20 points each direction, you have to talk 20 times 6 power of calculations, even for one given arm. So computation, in fact, I don't know, it's better than my direct numeric simulation or not. I'm not quite sure now from that point of view. It's very intensive calculation from that point of view. In our model, we put some constraint. In all other models, they don't put a constraint about the basic kind of constraints. What we put here, essentially, we allow this kind of condition to satisfy. And also, we assume second-order scaling exponents, the longitudinal transverse direction, that are the same, which is required by the incompressible condition and isotropy of second-order struct function. Okay? It's not automatic. We constrain our model. Our velocity is compressible. But when you build a model, you have certain parameters over there, you have a constraint of that. Out of these constraints, there's no adjustable parameter in your system. I would like to emphasize that. There are no adjustable parameters in your system. All will be given. Now let me show you some results. This is a calculation of what we have, the longitudinal struct function and transverse struct function at separation of R. Okay? We do see some like that one decade of inertia range. Our lambda here is about much higher than the DNS I can do. It's close to about 2,000, our lambda. You can still calculate our lambda. And also we use this so-called extended self similarity to look at it as a relative scale exponent. Pretty much they are the same. And we also look at the third order struct function and compare this to the dashed line and so on there as power 1. Essentially, we look at the quantity essentially satisfies the so-called four-fifths law, or more or less. Then, we calculate the high-order moments with the absolute quantity. Okay, absolute quantity. Transverse direction indeed vanished for this case. Okay, we take absolute quantity on this case. Then we calculate the separation, and this essentially is the, this is the longitudinal direction, this is transverse direction. We measure the scaling exponent. This, I think, is for this part. Let me emphasize this. For that, this part, some people have done, like Kembe, but never have seen in this part in the calculation. Goes up because your vortices for the very large separation essentially affect your box or things like that. So you will not be able to. That's right. You will not scale as like a saturate. That's right. So your periodicity comes into your system. Okay. And we also can measure the relative exponents. There's some power law here. But the important thing, I do see that, I show you from a direct numerical simulation, these power one results, this also power one results, you do see in inertial range, we calculate, you do see something scaling exponent different. At the moment, I only calculate one R lambda. But I think that's a very important issue. We should do it. I will discuss that issue. In fact, I think your prediction is sounds correct. But there's still some subtlety still there. I will discuss that issue right away. Okay. I promise to finish in the 35 minutes. So this is the result. Scaling exponents as function of n. So I'll show you four groups here. The DNS longitudinal direction, DNS with transverse direction, and Burke's ranking vortex model with two groups. It turned out for the longitudinal direction, the difference is not that big. This one and this one. It's for small, for n small ones, they all look like are similar. But for the n getting bigger, in fact, you do see something larger difference. Okay, the measurement of this model. The number is much smaller. In some sense, you can argue that because Reynolds number is much higher, okay, also because it looks like the vortex model provided much more singular structures. You pick the most singular structure, assume every point has singular structure, like axisymmetrical vortex. In the real terminal simulation, you do not have that kind of property. In fact, later, we are Shuni and I look at the shear dependence. You do see similar pattern on this issue. He probably will show in the next couple of days some other results. Essentially, there are possible philosophy you can treat this, the original scaling with isentropic term as your upper bound or limit. As soon as you put more singular structure or you put shear dependent, seem like your scaling exponent going to get down. Or if you look at the transverse direction and longitudinal direction, the longitudinal scaling exponent essentially shows the more singular structure, your scaling exponent is going to go down. I'm not quite sure that you agree with this, but maybe I still think it's a very interesting question to ask, you know, the shear dependence and transverse longitudinal dependence and these kind of scaling exponents, or the fundamental question we're asking, is there a universal scaling exponent, a group of scaling exponents? Let me answer your question, Itama. And in fact, there's people have done something similar to this question by the Antonius group in Australia. They measure experiments, look at the scaling difference of scaling exponent as functional R lambda. I don't know why they cannot measure higher than that. I'm very proud. This data is from our simulation. They say there's a kind of like one of R lambda, you know, linear kind of thing, decay to the saturation. For essentially what they say, when you reach 200 or some 300, you should see the similar scale exponent. But that's not going to verify by the experimental data. With R lambda go to 10,000, you still see some subtle differences. Okay. And also what we have done, probably now we can do R lambda go to 400 to 800. If Los Alamos allow me to do this whole simulation, Daryl, that's your job, to convince them, allow us to do this simulation. Maybe we can resolve that kind of convergence issue. Okay. Well, I think it probably it's rather than, you know, I talk a lot, I think it's probably I should stop here just for questions. You want to start here? What do you want to do? Okay. Oh, I thought this is everyone knows this result. This essentially, we showed isosurfaces of this is the vorticity yellow color, and red color is the entropy. Dissipation, right. Strain, right, right. Okay. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Did I present him? Let me tell you. Okay. The direct numerical simulation, we have 1 billion points. Okay. So essentially, you can get 1 billion, over billion points. For direct numerical simulations of how many points, sample space, we have over 1 billion. Between 1 billion to 5 billion points. So essentially, you're coming down to 10 minus 8 to 10 minus 9. I'm confident on scaling exponents up to 8th order. The convergence? I don't see any reason why not, because at this point, you know, that's my personal view on this. Yeah. You mean the model or the direct neural net simulation?
In the
DNN. Oh, not really. Not really. Is that true?
What?
Is that true? You said just project the direction, calculate this velocity project. The question that you don't have the points on the ball, your points are on the regular mesh. Okay, you have to do extrapolation. These kind of things, okay. But in principle, you can cut them. I agree. In principle, you can calculate that. Yeah, we should do that. Okay. Could you say again? One billion, they are uncorrelated?
Are they uncorrelated?
No, there's the 512 cubic data, that's one field. You could have took 10 or 15 fields. That's essentially what you get. That's so many
well-resolved
dissipation range. They are at a different time step. You can pick a different correlated. If there are possible some correlation, that means you do not really have too much to original input. Okay, so but some, it's a very good point. What you say, you have picked a certain time store time step longer than correlation in the time. That's what you say. We try to do that. No, we try to do that, but essentially that indicate it means you have to run much longer. So some data may they have some small correlation. Most data they may not. So I see your point. Okay, there's some correlation. That's all we say. There's some data that correlate. Huh? Well, you want me to explain it? Okay, repeat the question. Essentially, what his question is, because I calculate the third order moments along longitudinal transverse direction, but not for the quantity, for the absolute quantity. He asked why the transverse direction scaling exponent should be still be power 1. Can we get an insight from the model? Right, that's what I say. No, model does not set it for that. As soon as second order struct function and you know they satisfy power law as same, and as soon as we satisfy omega squared and these two constraints,
We do have some constraint. Let me show you the constraint we put into it. We do allow this. I think that's new to many other vortex model, because we want to calculate statistically at least what we call minimum constraints. Okay. The model satisfies certain constraints, but does not satisfy other constraints. These two conditions we satisfy. I thought that the circle is not fundamental because you take absolute quantity. That's why this. No, second order by definition, by incompressible isotropy. That's what I say. Orientation. It's isotropic. Absolutely. That's correct.
So then why isn't this automatic? I don't understand what you're going to have to add as a constraint. It's consequence of incompressibility and isotropy.
But this is no. But this is a statistic calculated from each vortices. Okay. That vortices, what your PDF or everything you pick may not satisfy this condition. You see, even though each vortice solution of vortices satisfy that, but when you take the ensemble average, there's some constraint. Yeah, there's some constraint. Yeah. Oh, we have done this. We just did not publish. And the Srini and Mark and myself, we didn't look at this. We look at this as turn out, I don't know if this, in fact, if we find similar hypothesis, we make these two, it indeed works when we make a cross term. Yeah, the cross term works if we follow the refined similar hypothesis, we make two refined similar hypotheses. Then we can cross term, they indeed work. From the direct numerical simulation data, that point. That's later. We did a pressure term also. Okay.